from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is It's Optional with Trey Wallace, Chance Collins, and Brandon Johns. What do you see?
Dobbs heaves it. They're bunched up in the end zone. It's tipped up. It's caught. It is caught. Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings.
And he just dumps it off for a first down.
Throws it, fakes the spike. In the end zone, touchdown. Whoa. Jordan Lasley. The legend of Josh Rosen.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. And the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State.
It's Optional. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're good out there. Fox Sports Knoxville, Fan Run Radio, 105.7, 1340 AM. Six more days left after today.
Only six?
5 days after today.
Only five after today, dude.
Yeah.
Come on.
Congratulations. Chance turned 40 today.
Hey.
Excited for him.
Hey.
Got to get them adult diapers soon.
Hey, easy. Easy.
I am stoked. Easy. Look, I'm going to be up there, too, with you, like June 28th, so
I know.
We're good.
Not only have I matured today, happy birthday to me. Thank you, Trey. Thank you,
absolutely.
Matt.
Absolutely.
Thank you to everybody who's already wished me. I walked in, and Ben's got a real boy haircut now, too.
Yeah, I know. That was
Ben, like, grew up overnight. You got an adult haircut.
Yeah, I go back home to Mobile, and all of a sudden I come back, and
Ben's got an adult haircut.
It's like you just should be rocking, like, a tuxedo T-shirt.
I like it.
He's looking great.
No, I like it.
Everything's...
Five more days, man.
Flown in. Yeah, five more days. Hey, congratulations. Last night on The Drive, you guys got to announce a new show that's going to be on 10 to 12.
That's right. The Blitz. Get ready, Knoxville. Bringing the extra defender. Watch your blind side. The Blitz will debut. It'll be March 28th. That is the day after Labor Day. It's going to be myself.
Memorial Day.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, Memorial Day.
I screwed that up last night with my best friend.
I mix those up all the time.
Yeah.
The day after Memorial Day, it'll be myself, Rick Butler of The Drive, and Brandon Orrick of The Drive. It's going to be really cool, man. Like, for those of you who didn't hear yesterday, it's going to be like jam-packed 2 hours. It's kind of going to be bridging the gap from the morning show to the midday. So it's really going to be like, you know, high-octane, high-energy for 2 hours. Maybe throw some shot clocks and like buzzers and, you know, timers and stuff in there. Like, but really like high-energy pace to give you all the headlines, everything Tennessee.
Lots of news
obviously
comes out like after early morning.
Yeah, you'd be
well
surprised. I mean, we'll have some guests in there too, but it'll be like really just like a quick show to kind of get you revved up for the rest of the local lineup for the rest of the day. So, yeah, we got to announce that yesterday on The Drive. Really big. If you've been watching our Twitter at Fox Sports Knoxville, we tweeted out a little sneak peek of the logo that we're going to have. I know we've been playing like a little teaser spot here at the station. There goes my phone going off. But, yeah,
it's
like
ESPN update.
Yeah, ESPN update. But, yeah, really excited about that, man. So, for those of you who were sad, Trey's going to The Drive. We're actually – you know, we pulled one over here, put a fast one over here. Nobody's leaving. Like I said, I'm moving to 10 to 12.
Yeah, nobody's leaving the station.
And even intern Matt, he's gonna follow me 10 to 12. He's going to stay with us here at Fan Run Radio.
Matt's
and
done a badass job, by the way.
He has. And quickly.
Appreciated.
Quickly. Like, yeah, very like, quick. He's like, I like to brag on myself a lot. Imagine that.
Yeah, no,
imagine that. I like to brag on myself a lot. Like, I learned the board really fast whenever I learned how to do board
usually
operations.
Takes a hot minute.
Like, I mean, this is like 7 years ago, but this guy, literally, we put him in there one day, let him like really follow Brandon. And shout out to Brandon.
Yeah,
thank you to Brandon
to
for his time. Brandon Johns. We let him like watch Brandon one day. I kind of like gave him a little tips, and he got it that one day. Stepped in the next day, has been doing it ever since. So, yeah, Matt's going to join us on the morning show from 10 to 12. So, yeah, it's going to be fun, man.
We're taking Parker.
You guys are taking Parker. We'll probably have another quality intern, too, but Matt's going to be really carrying a lot of this load. He's really going to be jumping into a bigger role as we jump to the morning show.
Yeah.
He's going to be my board op, man. He's going to be the producer behind the scenes, answering your phone calls, handling a lot of the production stuff. So, really excited for him, too.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Absolutely, buddy. No, I am. Look, this was a lot of stuff like behind the scenes trying to figure everything out. And it's going to help me a lot more. There were a lot of times, Chance, over the last 8 months, me and you've been together, that I had to miss out on media opportunities with players, press conferences, stuff like that, especially with football coming up. We're going to be expanding our coverage of Fox Sports Knoxville, especially through excuse me, the website and everything through social media. So I am excited to be able to step it up as well. It gives me a little more time to go on. I mean, campus is only 10 minutes away from here, so it really helps out with what we're trying to do. Couldn't be more excited to join Russell and Bear, and everything seems to be falling into line. And this was something that we were looking at doing, that we wanted to do, and it played it out really well. I'm excited for you guys. Starting the day after Memorial Day. And look, we will have Fox Sports Knoxville will have the best lineup, I think, in East Tennessee, whatever you guys call it, the Tri-City, whatever. Anywhere and everywhere, Fox Sports Knoxville is all over, and it's interesting. You know, people DMing and stuff like that. You know, we've got listeners in Birmingham, down in Auburn area, in College Station, in Gainesville, the people that DM me last week and this week, I appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. I was told to work it last week, and I probably worked it a little bit too hard, but I had a good time doing it. So if you tell me to burn something down, well, I'm not going to hold back and burning it down while having a good time. So, you know, you ask for it, station, and that's what happened. But it was all fun and games, and I got to go home, which was great. So exciting times coming to Fox Sports Knoxville. I really look forward to it, because even the overtime crew is going to be rolling along, so we'll have the best programming. So Nick Bromberg is going to join us at 1:20, one of our regulars. I think next week is going to be a great send-off for me and Chance. We're going to have our regulars on, from TJ Moe to Torres if he survives his bachelor party, to Bromberg. Probably get Danny Harrelson on here. Peter Burns is going to join us next week. Looking forward to that. I was even thinking about bringing Bobby Bowden back on. Why not? I reached out to Bobby.
Don't you do that.
Yeah, you know you'd like it.
I met Bobby years ago. I actually got to it was the night of champions. They came back to commemorate when the Vols beat Florida State. I actually got to pick him up. And this is no lie. I used to do some private driving for Cherokee, driving for a guy that used to do like some high-end driving. And he set it up, because they knew I was a Florida State fan, for me to be able to pick up Bobby Bowden from Tac Air. I actually got to pick him up, took some pictures with him, hung out with him for the night, like drove him to the event and everything, hung out with him afterwards, drove him back to Tac Air. He even told me I could fly on the plane back with him, because it was coming back to Knoxville if I wanted to. But I was like, I think I'm kind of wearing out my, you know, welcome, so to say.
They brought him
in. Yes, the people
to celebrate the 98 championship game.
Yeah,
hey, we beat you, but we're gonna bring you in to talk about it.
It was really awkward. I'm a big Knowles fan too, and we talked about that that night, and I got to like kind of impromptu interview him on the way back. Asked him who was his like favorite athlete the best athlete. He said it was Primetime, and he was talking about how this was at the time when the read option with like Colin Kaepernick, and everybody was like really.
Are you talking about my website?
Prevalent. Good one.
Thank you.
This is when it was like really
readoptional.com.
Readoptional.com. It was really prevalent, and the NFL like started to like gain like a lot of waves with Kaepernick and a lot of other quarterbacks. And he was like, Chawi was doing that way. We was doing that a long time ago. Chawi Ward was doing that a long time ago. He was talking about Charlie Ward. Dude, it was one of the best experiences I ever had. That same night, funny to say too, because I knew some people that knew him. So he came back. It was for St. Jude, so that's why he came back, because it was for a charitable cause. But I got to hang out with, weirdly enough, I hung out with Urban Meyer's daughter all night too, Nikki Meyer. Yeah.
Why was she in town?
She was in town because the people that set it up that I could go.
Here we go.
No, seriously, the people that set it up for me, which former pilot executive, the ones that set it up for me, they were best friends with Urban Meyer. The husband was.
Yeah, Jim Haslam.
No, not
Big Jim. Small Jim Haslam.
Don't put me out there like that.
I ain't putting you out there on blast.
Yeah, put me out there like that. But yeah.
Okay, we'll just leave it as pilot brought in Urban Meyer.
Yes, there you go. And so, I got with Nikki Meyer all night. It was really
fun. But that was fun.
Yeah, it was before she got pregnant.
Oh, well, That just went off the rails real quick.
Sorry.
That was fantastic. I just speak on a Friday.
I speak what's on my mind, and I mean what I say. I mean, but it was. It's not any knock. It was before she got pregnant. A very cute young
beautiful
woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
I actually got outdueled that night, and it's okay now because now I have a girlfriend. But I got outdueled that night by Stephen Pearl.
No way. Yep. By Stephen Pearl.
I mean, he had he was Bruce's son.
He had the slick back hair.
He got me.
He had that
Auburn assistant basketball coach. Auburn assistant basketball coach pulled the robbery on me.
That's horrible.
That happens. He's Stephen Pearl. I'm just, struggling radio guy. And
we should have him on next week to see if he remembers that night, actually.
It was a fun event, though.
Man.
Like, I would love for you to have Bobby Bowden back on.
Talk about disappointing. Nice segue from Chance's tried relationship with Nicky Meyer.
Transition.
Whatever. No, I'm going my way.
Transition.
I know what it is, but I'm going to go my way because it was just a bad.
I just like to say transition when you transition.
Okay, well, transition into this. The Trailblazers absolutely blew it last night. What were they up? 15 at one point?
Yeah, 15 at halftime.
15 at halftime.
God.
17 in the third quarter.
And
for
wound
a
up
McCollum,
losing.
Damian, I was losing my
mind.
I
felt for those guys.
Even Seth Curry was kind of rolling in a way. He had some big shots.
No, he did.
I think he only had like 15 or 16 points on a game, but he had some big shots.
Three-pointers in the fourth quarter.
I feel so bad for those guys, but this is a testament that people don't understand to Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Splash Brothers, what they created there. You guys probably don't know this. They've went 28 – Steph Curry and the Warriors are 28-1 in games without Kevin Durant. Think about that. As much as Kevin Durant, that's why it's so crazy when Kevin Durant went there. They didn't need the guy. They are 28-1 without him. You look at what Curry's done. You look at what Thompson, how they've both elevated their games in the playoffs without him out there. And also, this is another testament. Steve Kerr's only lost one series, I think, as a playoff coach, maybe two. And when you think about that, that's even more of a testament to what LeBron James did in 2016. Nobody beat them. And he did it with some scrubs.
Because last night, here's where I'm going to go with this. Probably we had Nick Bromberg on in about 5 minutes. And we're going to talk about this more in this hour. Does last night prove, and you just kind of made the point, but I'm going to bring it up again. Does last night prove that the Warriors don't need KD and KD can go be the best player in the NBA with another team that needs a best player in the NBA? Type you see it? I'm getting into here like
no I absolutely believe they definitely don't need him. Do you want him as a competitor? Yeah, you want him.
Thompson come back too.
Yeah, I don't think that they need him though, but you do want the guy.
Yeah. Well, if they'd had KD last night, they'd have probably won by 15 points there at the end.
Absolutely.
So really, no way of getting around it. And my whole take last night was this game is ending in three more games. This thing's over with. Portland might go back, and they might steal one up there. But the Warriors are winning two out of three, and this thing's over with. Like I don't think this thing's going six games, seven games. I think this thing's done now.
Absolutely,
because they didn't take advantage.
I do too. They had to win last night. Now, will they steal one in Portland? I think they'll steal Portland, but I still think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. It's going to be a 4-1 series. They're going to win one game. It's going to be the gentleman's sweep.
And then what? What do you think we're getting in the finals?
I think we're getting Raptors and Warriors.
Okay.
Just because I believe in Kawhi Leonard, I know that the Bucks won a big one that the Raptors probably should have won. But I really believe in what Kawhi Leonard can do when he really locks in. And it's hard for me to deny a champion like that. So, although Warriors, my champion overall, I still think the Raptors get there. It still might be a 5-game series, maybe 6. But I still think the Warriors take it overall. But, yeah, I do believe that the Raptors will eventually – they'll get it right tonight. They'll win game two. They'll tie it up 1-1. And then I think they'll win two in Toronto. And then Milwaukee probably win one, and it'll go to 6 games in Toronto, win that last game in Toronto.
Well, we're going to talk about that a lot more. I know the news is out there, and it broke a couple hours ago about Grant Williams. We are going to discuss
this. Did he officially say he's gone?
Yeah.
No, he should be.
His
measurables yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, he's getting a lot of positive feedback.
But
now.
Now we have to discuss what is the future of Tennessee basketball. And I was going to pose the question last night. I know we got to get to break. But with the talent that this team had this year and last year, how much of a disappointment is it
that
the only
window.
Thing that came out of it was a share of an SEC championship?
That was your window. We talked about that with Aaron Torres immediately after. Yep. This was the best opportunity to actually win a title.
Now, going back and looking at it now, knowing for sure that Grant's not coming back, knowing for sure that, Averill and Kyle are gone, and then Jordan Bone's probably not coming back either. You have to look at the Tennessee future, especially with what Memphis is doing after landing five recruits, within the top 80 over the last 2 months. So we'll talk about that more. Nick Bromberg's going to join us next. Talk a little bit of basketball, football, maybe throw a little bit of NASCAR in there. It's optional. Fox Sports Knoxville.
This is America. Don't catch you slipping, no.
Founded in
rolling along here in the first hour. Fox Sports Knoxville.
A powwow.
Just getting everything set up.
By the way, semi-breaking news.
What is it?
DJ Khaled released Nipsey Hussle's final music video today.
What?
Yeah. Nipsey. The marathon continues.
They released a music video for him?
Yeah, it's the final one that he recorded.
Okay.
Him and DJ Khaled.
Didn't he release a new album, though, DJ Khaled?
I think so, too. I think he did come out with one today. Not really big on his album. I just thought the Nipsey Hussle tribute was kind of cool. What about Penny Hardaway, dude?
Penny's out there rolling right
Penny
now.
Penny Hardaway is rolling.
Congratulations to him. Absolutely balling on the recruiting trail. And
just secured another commitment today from five-star forward Precious Achiuwa.
His name is Precious.
Yeah, his name's Precious. Yeah, Precious.
How much you want to bet he was named after that damn movie?
Probably. Achiuwa. Yeah, that would probably was about 18 years ago. Yeah, I guess somewhere around there. But yeah, now, according to 247 Sports, they got the number two class in the country.
Yeah.
Some outlets list them as the number one class, and the Tigers are actually the only team next season
right
with two projected top 10 picks in the 2020 draft.
Oh, congratulations, Penny Hardaway. We'll talk about that more today. On the line now, our man from Yahoo Sports, from everywhere. He's been covering. He's been traveling, doing his thing, and we're always excited to have him on. Nick Bromberg. Nick, good afternoon to you, buddy. Hope your week has been going well.
Morning. Yeah, cannot complain whatsoever. It's finally, nice and 85 degrees here. So, after having 6 inches of rain in 12 days, I'm soaking up the sun.
Good Lord, man. You need to go outside and just hang an umbrella and have a good afternoon.
Yeah, and then just sneeze like crazy because, as everybody knows, it's allergy season.
Right. No, it plays into it. So, you roll along. Hey, let's start things off real quick. All the drama that was with the NBA draft lottery. You saw the ratings. It rated higher than the shoe blowout game, I guess you could say, with Duke, North Carolina. Your overall thoughts on how that played out and especially how it played out on television?
It was I'm glad they condensed it to 30 minutes from an hour. I don't think that needed to be an hour. I think you could even still get away with it being at halftime and tease it all through the first half of a playoff game. But it worked. Everybody obviously – my takeaway was it was hilarious to see that no matter what happened, that people were going to say it was rigged. If the Lakers and the Knicks end up being the top two picks, people were going to say it was rigged. Since the Pelicans and Grizzlies – got the top two picks who were like, well, hey, NBA wants to be relevant in small markets. It's rigged. It's like, come on, people. This, if the NBA wanted to rig the lottery, I think that they would. They're not going to because then they would be in a world of hurt, both legal and financial. Doesn't happen. Let's stop with the conspiracy theories. But, I think to me it's absolutely fascinating how this affects New Orleans' leverage for Anthony Davis, and can they demand more in a trade from, say, Boston, if Kyrie decides he wants to stay. If Kyrie leaves, I don't think Boston's in the mix. Then if Kyrie goes to the Lakers, what does that do with the Lakers? So, if I'm the Pelicans and I've got Zion Williamson pretty much guaranteed to come into New Orleans, I'm sitting tight on Anthony Davis and waiting for something to happen rather than forcing the issue myself.
No, I tend to agree with you. It's going to be interesting to see how deep they go when it comes to the draft this year. You know, in Tennessee standpoint, you saw where, you know, Grant Williams finally just declared and said, you know, more than declared, said, I'm done. I'm not coming back to Tennessee. But how big was this when it comes to the Knicks in a sense of disappointment? Is it that big a deal, do you think, or is it more of a national landscape of the Knicks have always been falling apart with Dolan and things might not get better anytime soon?
You know, I wonder if we have to make that judgment after free agency begins, only because, you know, a lot of people think that Kevin Durant has New York as number one on his free agent list if he's going to leave Golden State, which I think seems like a pretty safe assumption at this point. So if Durant does not go to New York and we find out that having a top pick and potentially the rights to Zion played a role in that, then this is the absolute unmitigated disaster that people thought it could turn out to be for the Knicks. But if you still get Kevin Durant, that's a really good – you can get Kevin Durant, R.J. Barrett, and maybe you could entice Kyrie Irving or somebody else to come to New York. That's a really good offseason. So, you know, in that sense, people were talking about before the draft, say, you know, could New York flip the top pick? If they got the top pick and Kevin Knox, could that be flipped to New Orleans in exchange for Anthony Davis? That seems off the table right now. But again, if Durant signs – could New York do basically just what the Lakers did and feels like offering the farm to New Orleans for Anthony Davis? So I think you have to sit back and wait on the disaster level for the Knicks until free agency. And if Kevin Durant does not sign there, then we can start, you know, bringing the fans and the Knicks back to the
club. No, I looking at it right now, it just seems like a panic fire, and we'll see how that plays out and see who they get. Anything else stand out to you with the way the NBA draft went the other night? Do you like the new algorithm that they put into this, and they brought in a new firm to figure out how they're going to draft these, you know, these picks and what goes into? And it was weird, man. Like they were like this new system where they just draw these ping pong balls, but you got to draw four of them, and then who's ever number lines in to the right one gets to pick. Like, are they overcomplicating things, or do they have to do these type of stuff?
I think you have to overcomplicate it a little bit because, you know, you can't make the NBA, basically the NBA and baseball are in the same situations where you have a groups of teams that are going for it every single year, and then you also have another group of teams that are playing for the lottery, or if there's picks that they have given, they promised out, et cetera, et cetera. But they're playing to be bad, and I think you have to minimize the teams that are playing to be bad. Perfect example, look at Chicago. Chicago tanked like crazy this year. They wound up with the 7th pick for, I think, the 3rd straight season and ended up dropping in the lottery all 3 seasons. That's a terrible run of luck. Chicago fans
it's so
actually –
so tough. No, you're speaking with one Chicago native – I mean, not native, but person fan right here. Oh, man, it's tough. Like
you have more right to be aggrieved, as far as I'm concerned, than the Knicks fans.
No, you're right. I actually did some research, Nick, into that because I'm a big Bulls fan. Went back 20 years. Not only have the Bulls had the 7th pick for the last 3 years or even traded for it when they traded for Lauri Markkanen, the Jimmy Butler with Timberwolves, they've gotten the 7th pick like 7 times in the last 20 years, and it does nothing for you. Like it really does nothing.
Who is the best 7th pick in that time frame?
Honestly, I don't even probably know. Markkanen, like so far. I mean, because the other ones, I'm talking about Eddie Curry was one of the ones in there, and Eddie Griffin back with the Rockets, who never panned out back in the day. Like, yeah, it's been some bad ones.
Ooh, that's brutal. We're talking like Kwame Brown at number one level.
Yeah.
A slightly smaller scale, and that's the problem too. That's the reason the Bulls are in this position right now, is because they have whiffed on so many high draft picks. Even though they're not getting, you know, your top five, top three draft picks, we have to look at the Warriors and say the reason the Warriors are so good is because they've hit on so many lower level first round and top second round picks.
Yeah, the best 7th pick in the last 20 years have been Steph Curry, who's obviously going to be a Hall of Famer, one of the best shooters that we've ever seen, probably the best shooter in the NBA, and then Richard Hamilton from UConn. So the 7th pick really doesn't get you much. You know, we're talking about this, and that's the one thing I took away. You know, as a Bulls fan watching, I'm paying close attention to the tankathon all year round. Like, you know, like Bulls are going to get Zion, and then when the picks come out, like, all right, they got a 12.5% chance. They got the 4th best odds to get that first pick, and we've seen what happened. But in your opinion, with all that that's happened and kind of where the NBA, you know, some people think that it was rigged, that they did this to teach teams not to tank and kind of reward at New Orleans for staying on the path, keeping Anthony Davis, not trading him. Do you think this is going to actually deter teams from trying to tank? Because you look, you saw the Suns in there. You saw what the Knicks, and who comes out with the pick? Like you said, the Pelicans and the Bulls also trying to tank, and nobody gets the number one pick. So do you think teams will kind of stop to tank and really go after key players in free agency more?
You know, I wonder if it's not going to make the tanking as egregious. I wonder if you're going to have teams that – I still think tanking is going to be a thing that happens,
yeah.
But maybe you look at it in the sense of a Charlotte or a team – you know, Miami's been trying – they've been trying to get things back on track. They've never really tanked. But you look at a team like Charlotte, who is never really going to be good, and now they're fascinating to me along the lines of the new lottery system.
Yeah.
Do they want to sign Kemba to the Supermax? And that's going to be a big commitment for a guy that I think is going to either turn 30 this year or is already 30. And the Supermax, we're seeing it. I'm an Oklahoma City fan. I'm seeing it. What's going to happen with Russell Westbrook. We're going to see it with the Max. It's going to happen with Chris Paul and Houston. So if Kemba leaves, Charlotte needs to tank because there is absolutely no talent on that roster outside of Kemba Walker. That said, you know, they're not going to have a chance. Now the top teams or the worst teams only get a 14% chance. This is going to be basically a five-year program of, hey, we've got to really hit on, say, number 12 this year. I think P.J. Washington's been projected on a lot of mocks to the Hornets already. And then, you know, hope we get a top three, top two pick if Kemba leaves. But in that sense, if Kemba stays, are things really even going to get that much better? Because they don't have the salary cap flexibility to make a move.
No, it's going to be tough for them. Switching gears, let's go back to the playoffs. I know we're talking a lot about the lottery, but the Warriors, no KD. It seems like, you know, they're holding him out till they have to play him, or the injury is a lot worse than what everybody thought. It was an Achilles, and maybe it's a lot worse than what they're trying to lead on. But you look at them, and the Warriors are 29-1 without him. We all knew that they really didn't need him. What do you think about their performance? Do you see the Portland even making it a fight when they go back to Portland for these next couple of games? And is it just the Warriors championship from here on out? Because what do you think about, I guess, who's coming out of the East?
If Durant's back, I think the Warriors are the heavy favorites. I'm fascinated to see. I'm in love with Milwaukee-Toronto. Watched the entire game pretty much a couple of nights ago. We'll watch it. Watch that. Flip back and forth between that and the truck race tonight. But you look at this, Portland is a very good matchup for the Warriors, based on, especially with Nurkic out. I think Nurkic is the big what-if here. And it's a fantastic achievement for the Blazers to get where they've been without Nurkic. And Cantor has played his guts out. He went that shoulder injury. But, you know, you look at this, last night was such a great chance. And I kept thinking the entire game, even in that third quarter, when the Warriors came back from being down, I think 15 at halftime, it was like, you know, Portland's playing pretty well, and they're still missing their opportunities. They're not getting a chance to close out. They get the lead late. The Warriors storm back. Yes, you can talk about the potential hook at the end of the game that wasn't called. But that being said, you've got to close out a game like that. And maybe Portland steals one at home, but it's hard to see this series going more than six games at the most. I will be stunned if this somehow gets to seven games, and that's even with Durant not playing at all this year.
I really love how you threw in you're going to watch the truck race tonight and have the other one on there, because I'll probably be doing the same thing, to be honest.
I mean, there's a reason why I have five TVs in my basement.
My man, gosh, just rolling deep. I love it, Nick. No, that's fantastic. And trust me, I'll be doing probably the same thing tonight after I get home, because it's such a late starting race. It doesn't start till 9 o'clock tonight. So, you know, either way, we'll be good. But before we hit on NASCAR just for a minute, looking at the way the NFL has panned out over the last couple weeks with teams hitting up the OTAs, and are you, Cleveland, are you buying in to any of the hype right now, even after OTAs? And the second part of this question is, what the hell are the New York Jets doing?
That's the thing. I'll answer the second part first.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the Jets are doing. I don't know why if you're going to make a firing at GM and because it was over with the Le'Veon Bell situation, if it was actually overpaying Le'Veon Bell what they wanted to pay him, why was that not solved before the draft? And when that doesn't make sense at all.
Good point.
And also too, you know, from a Kansas City perspective here, the Chiefs signed or traded for Darren Lee for a sixth round pick. Darren Lee was not great in New York, but they're going to run a totally different defensive scheme here in Kansas City. Kansas City absolutely needs speed at linebacker. They need somebody who can cover. They drafted Dorian O'Daniel out of Clemson, but he's been hurt. They're hoping Darren Lee ran a 4.42 40, has a fantastic change of direction numbers at the combine. He's a 2016 first round pick. When you're on a team like Kansas City's owed, I think, $2 million this year, that's an absolute – I mean, if the Jets wanted to get rid of him, that's fine. But when you're a team like Kansas City and you're trying to go to the Super Bowl, you can get a first-round talent who's 24, 25 years old for a sixth-round pick. You absolutely do it. We will see if that turns out to be a steal for the Chiefs. And as long as Cleveland does, I think people are still underselling Pittsburgh, especially after that draft. I really like what they get in the draft. Devin Bush, fantastic player. I think Justin Lane's going to be a very good corner. And you still have to realize that, Juju Smith-Schuster, still a fantastic wideout. James Conner did very well with Le'Veon Bell. If Ben plays well, I think they're still the team to beat in the North there. And also, too, we can't forget how really, really good James Washington was in college football. He really hasn't been able to get on the field because of all the talent at wide receiver in Pittsburgh. This is his chance. If he's even close to the level of how good he was relatively in the NFL than he was in college, he's going to be a very good number two receiver.
That's a good way to put it. I don't know. The Jets just seem to amaze me every single day, and it's a national brand, so it's a story to talk about. Hey, real quick, do you follow boxing?
I do not. That is like one of the few sports I do not pay attention to as I'm watching the PGA Championship right now and wishing I was covering it like I did last year.
I'm just wondering, do you get up for any kind of like big fights? Like if there's a big fight, will you tune in like something that's marquee and you might know the name like Canelo or Triple G or something like that? I mean, and the reason I ask that is boxing and MMA are going different routes with these networks like DAZN, which is actually DAZN, I found out from Chance. And then, you've got ESPN Plus going the route with the UFC and all that. Are we on the brink of seeing something different when it comes to these marketing strategies from these new streaming sites? Even what, AEW Wrestling signed on with Turner Media and TNT the other day. Like, are we in the transition of different kind of market reach when it comes to these athletic events?
I think so. And also, too, for if you're a boxing fan, I've been reading a lot of stuff about DAZN and the pricing strategies they have. DAZN's strategy right now is they want your money up front. And basically what it turns out to be is I think you pay $100 a year up front versus the monthly fees. They want you to pay annually, but then that annual price ends up being, I think, like less than the cost of two pay-per-view fights. So if you are a boxing consumer who watches boxing on a regular basis, it's an absolutely no-brainer for you. So, for me, the last fight I watched was Pacquiao Mayweather, so I'm dating myself in terms of when the last time I sat down to watch a fight was. But, in terms of that, if you're going to spend the money on two or three pay-per-views a year, you might as well do it annually at once and get everything. I get that because if you're a niche sport and you recognize you're a niche sport, open yourself up, give yourself a lower price point to widen the audience. I mean, quite frankly, I think that's kind of – if NASCAR goes the streaming service route over the next few years, they kind of do have to do that. And also, too, DAZN now, I believe, in Canada has all of the English Premier League rights and the Champions League rights. They have a ton of soccer. They're basically trying to be in Canada what ESPN Plus is in the United States when it comes to accruing international soccer competition rights.
It's interesting to see all these streaming platforms come up. And you locked on NASCAR, so we'll talk about it for a minute. The last 4 to 5 weeks of racing do you think it's done anything to change public perception of racing in this package, or are we still in this lull where we don't know what we're getting week in and week out? Because you've seen the comments from Kyle Busch. Well, and let's be honest, Kyle just likes to bitch every now and then. There's really no way of getting around that. But we
and
have
it wasn't nothing new for Kyle either. I mean, he's been against this all year, so it wasn't surprising.
I mean, has anything changed? I mean, honestly, are we 4 to 5 weeks later when me and you first started talking about this, these changes and how things might go about and people tuning in? I mean, have we got anywhere from it, or are they just trying to build up for this thing still?
Well, here's the frustrating thing in my view, and I could be totally wrong, but the last 50 laps Saturday night, if anybody watched that at Kansas, they were fun. I mean, their starts helped a lot. But it was fun in terms of, you know, guys were having to try different strategies, especially with that ridiculous tire caution coming in green flag pit stops and jumbled up the field. There were guys that you don't normally see at the front of the field racing for the lead. That move by Ricky Stenhouse Jr. was phenomenal. It was an entertaining end of the race. But that entertaining end of the race, and this is not product of hindsight being 2020. This is what guys were saying Friday entering into the race. They were saying, hey, look, we really think this is going to be the closest thing to what NASCAR wants from this, from these rules, because it was like 60 degrees on Saturday in Kansas City. The sun was down in the evening, so it was 55. I mean, I was basically wearing a hooded sweatshirt and a jacket when I was outside at the end of the race. It was not warm, and you know, cool and tacky for a track is the, I haven't read about this, is the new hot and slick. These guys are saying, look, we need grip all over the track because that's how you have to drive these cars now at intermediate tracks when you're basically wide open all by yourself. The grippier the track, the better. That's going to produce the better racing. We saw that happen in Kansas. Great result in the sense of, hey, that was a gripping final 50 laps. The problem is that could be a very big red herring because we're entering summer. And, you know, you can throw the All-Star Race Saturday out the window because that's going to be different rules. The 600 is going to be start during the day and run at night. You cannot tease the 600 as being, hey, stay for the first, you know, don't worry about the first 500 miles. Stay for the last 100 because they could be good. You can't sell the 600 that way.
Yeah.
And then going forward in the summertime, it's only going to get hotter. So I just want to caution people and say, you know, what you saw at Kansas might have been really, really good, but you can't go expect that at other tracks this summer until it actually happens.
No, I agree with you, and I think what's interesting, and people have to take notice of, like tomorrow night is the All-Star Race. The All-Star Race, in my opinion, is for locals of Charlotte or people within, you know, 50 to 100 miles, you know, of Charlotte. You know, and then next week's race, the 600, that's more of a people coming in town for a couple days if they want to, kind of planning out an event. Would you agree with me on that one? Like tomorrow night is going to be interesting racing. It's, you know, teams have specific cars for that race that they're not going to go out there. You know, if they have to wreck it, whatever, they wreck it, but it's not going to be maybe the craziness of a cup race regular.
No, I actually, this segues earlier into a tease. Just this morning, I published that the All-Star Race should go away.
My man.
I am done. I'm done with the All-Star Race in the sense of every race is an All-Star Race in NASCAR, and I realize that's a tired and trope statement, but it's true. You know, there's nothing novel about the All-Star Race. Without giving away totally my column, there's nothing novel about the All-Star Race that's not a normal NASCAR race anymore, because double file restarts started in the All-Star Race. They're now everywhere in NASCAR.
Yep.
Stages started in the All-Star Race. They're now everywhere in NASCAR. You know, watching millionaires compete for $1 million, really not that cool, especially when the $1 million prize was first instituted in 2003 and has not grown with inflation. It would be actually 1.4, 1.5. I think Charlotte should round up, go to $1.5 million. They don't do that. You know, so you look at this and say, what's the point anymore? NASCAR, they have said they want to make a concerted effort in terms of condensing at least the duration of the schedule, if not the number of races. Well, they did that in 2020. They shortened the season by a week, even though, because they're doing the doubleheader at Pocono, even though they're doing the Olympic break. They could potentially do that in 2021 even more as they talk about schedule overhauls. What's wrong with getting rid of the Clash and the All-Star Race? You know, do we really need 38 NASCAR weekends a year versus 36? I think when we talk about the length of the season, one thing that I just cannot get away from is we love football in this country, don't get me wrong, and that's a big part of it. We love the game itself, but another big reason we love the NFL is because it only has our attention for 16, 17 regular season weeks a year, plus the 4 weeks of the playoffs. It is less than a half of a year sport. It's not like NASCAR where it's February and November. Creating some demand and getting some pent-up, hey, I really want NASCAR to start in the offseason, is not a bad thing.
I agree with you. If you're going to do it, move it somewhere else that would be more
logical. And that's the thing.
Logical.
I skipped over that move it somewhere else argument because I feel like that's been made before. And it also feels like we've been talking about moving the All-Star Race for 10 years and it's never happened. Why would it happen now?
Yeah.
I mean, it almost feels like it's maybe better late than never is the right way to describe it. But it also feels, in my opinion, it's too late. You know, should have done this 5-10 years ago. At this point, let's just say, hey, you know what? And part of me writing this now was, if you said after this week's All-Star race, 2020 is the last one, you can blow it out big. You can give $2 million to the winner. You could, as somebody suggested in my Twitter mentions, and I was actually thinking about that as I was writing the column. If you do, if you say 2020 is the final All-Star race, bring back every active NASCAR Hall of Famer who, and fund them in a stock car, like a, you know, a basic stock car, and have them race around the Legends Oval. Do a Hall of Fame race before the big race. Figure out something fun, blow it out, make it good. Say, hey, we're going out 36 years. We're going out on a high note. You know, the new era of NASCAR with the new car is coming in 2021.
All great points, Nick Bromberg. Man, thank you so much for joining us, buddy. Please tell everybody where they can follow you, your fantastic work, and your column this morning.
At sports.yahoo.com/NASCAR. All the stuff there. Dale Jr., now the first person in the history of the world to drive both the Indy 500 and Daytona 500 pace cars in the same season. Dale Jr. is living one glorious life. I will be watching the All-Star race on tape delay Saturday night. Going to be in attendance at a wedding. Probably should not have my phone on the table. So I'll be DVRing it and probably watching it Sunday morning.
Well, at least it's not college football season, so you're good, buddy.
I got one wedding to worry about in college football season this year. But
yeah, me too.
You know what? One out of 14 ain't too terrible.
You got that right. Brother, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me as always.
Thanks, bud. Nick Bromberg, Yahoo Sports. I'm getting that look. Means I got to take a break. We'll be back on the other side.
Disability.
Rolling along here, hour number one. Let's go straight to the phone lines. What better theme music to have for Philly than this right here? Let's bring him on. What's up, my brother?
What's up, Trey?
Man, it's good to hear from
the
you.
The mayor of South Knoxville.
Well, I guess congratulations to the chancellor.
Appreciate it, Phil. You know what I do.
Chancellor's one of a kind there, Trey.
Yeah, put on my hard hat.
I mean, I
come to work every
that.
Day. Phil, you know, come here with the lunch pail, doing it for you, Phil, doing it for you.
The Blitzkrieg, huh?
That's the Blitzkrieg, cool. That's right.
Yeah,
Trey, how are you going to coexist with W and Barbara?
I've done it before.
Philly,
not
I
easy.
Am going
not easy.
To sit in the chair, and I am going to bring another dimension to the show, and I'm going to enjoy it, and here's the thing. This is something that I ask for. So, yeah, I mean, it's on me, you know.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
I'm excited, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will. We've been talking to Russell and Barron. We'll take it to the next level, and we'll have a great time doing it, and have some great guests on, and have some great conversations. And man, this is going to be fun. I couldn't be more. Happy with where the station is going. So this is going to be great.
Are you going to do like Russell Flesh people when you disagree with them?
No. Well, I won't Flush. I mean, Russ might say Flush, but I'll just roll along with the punches.
That's funny.
I'll find my niche.
Grant Williams, congratulations to him. I hope he gets a high draft status, and that will help Tennessee basketball recruiting.
You have to look back on his career at Tennessee, and you have to be thankful that you got the opportunity to watch him and him being the ambassador he was to University of Tennessee. I don't think Tennessee would be getting Josiah James right now if it was not for Grant Williams and the extra effort that he put in when it came to recruiting. And I also think it's a situation where you have to look back on the fantastic memories in the games. Here's something that I talk about a lot. You remember the 2015 year with Butch Jones where they beat Florida, then they beat Georgia and they lost to Texas A&M. Well, you know what? You have to look back at that type of year, and I know that a title wasn't won or anything along those lines, but you got to go find the good things about that season, and that's what you have to look at, the fun moments. Tennessee won themselves a co-SEC championship, and it's unfortunate that was the only thing that was won. When it comes to team-wise, individual-wise, these guys won many different awards. But you have to go back and look at the great moments that they all had together and just try to soak those in is the best way to put it. But Grant Williams is going to do great things in life. So is Admiral. So is Kyle. And it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, and that being said, I think Grant Williams is the one player they can't replace next year. I think all the other players could be replaced, but Grant Williams, that's 20 points a game about every night, and was pretty consistent. So I just don't, you know, it's going to be a major loss. That puts Tennessee probably on a bubble team now at the best.
No, I agree with you, Philly. Philly, thank you for the call, but I got to catch one more break before we get out. Have a great weekend, my brother. You know, I agree. We'll talk about that coming back. We'll wrap up the first hour. I agree. Tennessee's got to fill up his spot.
Got to do something.
Grant Williams figuring out quick. We'll be back right on the other side.
We know pets are family.
Next step in my journey. To Vol fans, honestly, I just want to thank you because there's not much more I can say because you guys have been there for me. You've been amazing to me, and it's been a great 3 years. It's been a great process. I want to thank my teammates, my coaches, as well as you all, because without you all, I wouldn't be where I am at today. And
that's the man.
Grant Williams.
Grant Williams gone.
Announcing on Stadium, which I asked Chance during the break, I wonder how much Stadium paid Grant Williams to make that announcement through their platform.
At least a couple thousand.
Right, yeah.
It was like 2,000, 3,000.
Right. Usually if you – I mean, that kind of came out of nowhere.
Stadium might make it. That's huge, though, you know, for them, the Stadium production. That's good for Brent. I mean, for Grant because –
For Brent Williams. No, yeah, I agree.
For Brent Williams. Brent is what we're calling him now. No, that's good for Grant. I don't think – I was talking to somebody about this the other day, and they're like, I really want him to come back. I think he should come back. And I was like, all right, we can take your unbiased opinion out of it. Take the bias away. You want him to come back because you want Tennessee to be better. When you're looking at him going from the collegiate level to the next level, how much more can he really alter his game or elevate his game that much more? He is who he is. His size is not going to change.
He's going to be a top 20 pick. Go make your money. You know
yeah, exactly. You might come back, you might get hurt, and you're already undersized, and that's going to hurt you.
You
even
can
more.
Easily go take out a $5 million insurance policy on yourself. But what if you come back and you blow out your knee or something along those lines?
Or you
lines?
Just don't have a good season.
Or you just like, don't have a good season.
You're already undersized. Strike while the iron's hot, Grant
Lots
Williams.
Of stuff to
go
talk about.
Go get your
next
money,
time.
Grant Williams.
Hello. I